Pro-lifers taking their message to the streets and saving lives. Find out more next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We have today with us our pastoral associate, Reverend Rusty Thomas from Waco, and our associate director, Janet Morana. Good to be with you both.
Howdy.
Well, today we're going to talk about a fun topic and serious, but it is a lot of fun because when you do the Lord's work, you have the joy of the Lord, and that is bringing the message out to the public places, to the streets of America. At the three of us, together with so many brothers and sisters, have been doing this for so many years, and it's so invigorating, and it saves lives. And yeah. it's so consistent with Scripture, as we're going to see in very many ways, that, you know, when you hear the word of the Lord, you can't be silent about it. You're not supposed to go into some quiet, dark, private corner to talk about the word. It's got to be proclaimed, like the Lord himself said, from the rooftops. You got to go out into the public like the apostles did and get that message out there.
Well, and you look at the life and ministry of our Lord himself. I mean, yeah, as his custom was, he did speak in the synagogue, and we know he had times where he spoke in the temple. But the majority of his life and ministry was on the streets.
And as the gospel says, spoke where all the people gather. So it wasn't necessarily they were coming to listen to him. He was going to where they gathered, where they were already, and brought the message.
Yeah, and of course the church herself. Father Frank was birthed in the streets. There was the big festival, the day of Pentecost, and, you know, great crowds gathered, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is poured out. And what's this? Well, let me tell you what this is about.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And so, yeah, that's our heritage. That's our history. You know, for whatever reason, we don't do good in buildings because the church building itself could be. Not always, but could be a bushel that hides the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I think the church needs to be reminded of where we're the most effectual. Yes. And that is on the streets amongst the people.
That's right. And especially when it deals with the matter that we talk about, abortion, there we're going out not only proclaiming a message, but actually intervening to save lives. And of course, you have seen that many times. We were talking recently before the show started about when we did Face the Truth. And right there on the street, women who were planning to have an abortion saw us standing there with the signs of what abortion looks like and changed their mind.
There was one particular case. We were in Brooklyn, matter of fact. Standing with the Face of Truth signs, aborted babies and the same baby, you know, living in the womb. And a girl was headed into this, looked like an office building, but apparently on one floor there was a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. Mm. On the other floor there was a pregnancy center. And we had a confirmation report from the pregnancy center that she saw those signs on the street. She was originally headed to press the floor of Planned Parenthood and abort her child. But after seeing those pictures, she went to the pregnancy center instead. So they came out after and told us, thank God you people were out on the street because that baby's heart now is beating this afternoon because you people were witnessing on the street.
Well, a lot of people get upset, especially showing the graphic signs. But we must understand there is biblical warrant for this. Both the prophets, the apostles, Jesus Christ himself. I mean, what more graphic sign do we need to see than the Son of God hanging naked on a cross, butchered beyond human recognition? Mm-hmm. I mean, would Jesus show the sign? No, he became the sign, and it was as graphic as it is going to be. But it was that graphic sign that saves wretches like you and I. Yes. And the book of Ezekiel says this, Father Frank, in chapter 22, starting in verse 1, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, now, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Yes, show her all her abominations. And of course, with the other prophets, it talks about, you know, cry aloud, spare not, you know, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to Israel her transgressions and her sins. So either by speaking or by showing, we need the Holy Spirit to convict the souls of men concerning this sin and this crime called abortion.
It's interesting, those passages, declare to her her sins, show her her abominations. One would think that, well, if the prophet is going to get up and speak the word of the Lord, he's going to stand up and say, well, show her God's forgiveness or show her God's mercy. Well, yeah, we want to bring them to that point where they see God's mercy and forgiveness. But first, you've got to reveal the evil.
Well, they'll never seek God's mercy and God's forgiveness unless they are first convicted of their sins and their crimes. You know, God is a holy God. Mm-hmm. And sin deeply offends his holiness. You know, the scripture talks about there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
The key word there is now. In other words, before there was condemnation.
Yes.
And that condemnation is very an intricate part for people to feel anxious for their souls. One of the things we see, Father Frank, when we show the graphic signs, particularly for people who are post-abortive, you know, they're trying to bury that, you know, and deep down in their conscience, they don't want to be reminded of it. And of course, they're driving along and there you are on the street. And guess what? What they tried to, you know, kind of sweep under the carpet, God lifts the carpet and says,
that's
you need
right.
to take a look.
Right.
And you need to understand what you have done, my child. You have sinned. You have committed a crime, a sin against God and a crime against your own child. Now, we're not doing that to be mean. You know, we're doing it in such a way so that that sin might surface. And now God would have an opportunity to deal with that and hopefully drive them to the very mercy seat of Christ where they can find forgiveness and release from that abomination.
Both those that have had abortions, and remember that day in North Carolina, those that were coming to the abortion mill, remember they stopped right in the middle of the street?
That's right.
We were holding that graphic sign.
And this couple, I mean, they literally, like Father said, stopped, and we started to talk to them and say, you know, you don't have to go in there. There are other choices. We'll take you someplace where there's a doctor who will help you. And if, because they said, oh, well, we can't afford the bills. We said, well, no, we know a doctor who'll give you free medical care. We literally got in the back of their car and drove them to the doctor's office, and they took the free care and had the baby. So, you know, very often what happens, too, I find, you know, by us witnessing outside these abortion clinics, very often the people that live in that community or the businesses that service that abortion clinic don't realize what's going on there.
No.
You know, like one time we were in Seattle, and I think we said to the people, you know, do you people realize there's an abortion clinic like down the road? And they said, no, that's the family health clinic. And we said, it's not a family health clinic. They might say that's the name. And while they might provide free shots for the kids, they're also aborting children. And they were shocked to find that. And then remember, we had a little witnessing there with the signs. And suddenly there was an uproar in the whole community. They didn't realize they had an abortion clinic right in their own backyard.
Show the city her abominations.
Absolutely. And Father Frank, one of the things that we also need to recognize, especially as Christians, you know, this is the sin of this generation.
It certainly is.
You know, that literally cries out from the ground to God, and it affects us all. And one of the things we've got to recognize, it's also our opportunity to witness the truth of the gospel.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you look at the sign of the aborted baby, and one of them we named Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
And Malachi means my messenger.
Right.
In other words, even though that baby is dead, its life still speaks.
Yes.
And it has volumes to share with the United States of America. And indeed it does. And you show that sign, and what happens, you take it out of the realm of political debate and a war of semantic and a war of words. This is the reality of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so you show the sign of the dead baby, and you say to our nation, you know, this is what happens to a nation that violates the commandments of God.
That's right.
You know, this is the law of sin and death.
Now take a picture of this live baby, because you know how we do the contrast? Mm-hmm. You have the picture of the aborted baby, the dead baby as the result of abortion, and then you got this cute little picture of a chubby little baby that's alive. And you know, the law of sin and death is broken by the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The wages of sin brings death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the church doesn't even recognize that this sin not only cries out to God, but it gives us a powerful opportunity to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ that can change the minds of men and touch their hearts.
Exactly. Well, we're going to give some examples of how that has happened and some of the activities that you, Reverend Rusty, and all of us have been involved in right after we take our break, and we'll go through some of these concrete examples. So stay with us, friends, because there's a lot more to come.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Happy birthday to you. The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back. We're talking with Reverend Rusty Thomas and Janet Morana about some activities out in the streets that have given witness to people about pro-life and have saved lives. Rusty, give us some examples of...
Father Frank, it has been such an adventure, and there have been so many different venues, and really just the principle of showing up, going out on the streets, you know, armed with the truth, armed with the love of God, like we say, showing the transgression. It's amazing what happens, Father Frank. You know, we have gone to high schools all over America, college campuses. And you know what? You show up with the signs and you show up with, you know, pro-life and gospel literature. Of course, huge crowds come around.
They do.
And you're able to, you know, either one-on-one or even to a large crowd, you know, plead the case of the fatherless to win it.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting, and this is also, Father Frank, a preemptive strike. A lot of these young people have not thought through the implications of abortion, particularly as it relates to the plight of their own generation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one third of their own generation is gone by this monster. And some of them haven't really thought this through. But what happens, Father Frank, we would go out in the morning and we would, show up with the signs and pass out like a gospel pro-life tract and say, young people, we're going to be back in this afternoon. And we want to talk with you. I want you to read this, and we want to talk to you afterwards. You know, and of course, when you show up at the school, guess what the subject of the day is? It's not math and geometry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's about God. It's about life, death, abortion.
That's right.
You know, heaven, hell. I mean, topics that are normally not in school, all of a sudden they're showing up.
You've brought the gospel into school without even setting foot inside the building.
Exactly.
You know,
and I can even tell you that the Christian kids are usually, they get upset with you too at first being there. But so many testimonies that in the afternoon, you know, I was upset just like everybody else that you came out here showing on this stuff. But then they start crying. But it was the first time in my life I had to stand up for Jesus and tell the truth about the Word of God. And you gave us courage to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and we would arrive, you know, after high school was over, literally, Father Frank, 50, 60, 70, 100 young people falling on my neck, weeping, crying, nobody showed us. Nobody ever told us these things.
We do them an injustice when we don't show them the truth, of the gospel, the truth about abortion. We do them such an. I remember a story of a young student who saw some of the pictures of abortion and went home to her mother and said, "Why didn't you ever show me this?" She was offended
right.
that her parents had withheld the truth about this. These young people get it quicker than we think they do.
Very often I think we get criticized for showing the pictures or going onto the streets with the message. But yet if you look at secular TV, right, just on the news alone, you see death, you see destruction, you see war, you see starving children, you see pictures of all these images, and people don't object to that. But yet, when we go out with this kind of truth, is when people say we don't want to see abortion.
You know what I like is the Overpass Project. Tell us about that.
Father Frank, we've had national, regional events all over America, and one of our venues, we called it the Overpass Project, and we came up with this concept, and we had several different signs strategically located at different overpasses. So if we're in a huge city, a large city, you know, maybe at the first overpass, it would say, what kind of nation?
Okay.
You know, and of course, and you're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of cars.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
exactly. Rush hour. Yeah.
You know, so it would say, you know, what kind of nation?
Right.
And then maybe a half a mile or a mile down the road, what kind of city over that overpass?
All right.
And then, you know, half a mile, mile down the road, what kind of church?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then maybe about a half an hour, mile down the road, what kind of man?
Right.
All right. And at the end, would do this and show the picture of Malachi. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Father Frank, there was traffic jams. I mean, people.
With their mouths open.
And they had to chew on that.
It's so effective because it raises, you know, they see that first, what kind of nation? They say, all right, what's all this about? You know,
right.
Once they see the second one, now their curiosity is up. All right, this is leading up to something.
Right.
And they see that and it's like, you know, it brings conviction.
Well, it brings conviction and it just shows us how much as a people, as a nation, we have violated our own national covenant, our own national creed. It's such a violation of the principles that we have fought and died for and shed our blood for. You know, basically what we fought against in, you know, World War II. We've adopted their practices.
Exactly.
We defeated them
right
over there, but their practices got set up here.
Yeah.
You know, and so we got to wrestle with this. We got to deal with it. And when those kind of presentations are presented, it does have a powerful impact.
It does. Well, I want to thank you for your leadership and activity in this arena. We look forward to continuing to work together on these things. And Janet, any final thoughts on this?
No, just that people should not be afraid. Do not be afraid to bring the message out to the streets.
Yeah, exactly. Well, brothers and sisters, we want you to stay with us now so that you can learn how you can support this ministry as we collaborate with people like Reverend Rusty and Janet and others around the country who are bringing the truth into communities like yours and saving lives and converting hearts. You know, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he would convict the world of sin. And that's what we're talking about here. Once he convicts the world of sin, he doesn't leave us under the power of sin, but leads us to the foot of the cross where we find the blood shed for us that heals us of sin and that restores us to life. This is the message of the gospel of life. This is the message that we are committed to proclaim, and we ask you to partner with us. So you'll see now how you can join and support our ministry, and then we'll be back with our action segment to give you more ideas about what you can do to build the culture of life. So please stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment, and Janet, today we're going to talk about using some very powerful tools to convince people of how devastating abortion is.
Well, as you know, Father, I co-founded the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, where the women and men who've experienced abortion speak publicly about their abortions, and they've written their testimonies. Now, we have those testimonies. I think it's the largest collection of post-abortion testimonies on our website. We have them in written form. We have audio and video clips. Now, in giving their testimonies, you know, the men and women that do this, one of their hopes is that people will use their testimonies to help maybe to stop another girl from going down that road to have an abortion, to help maybe another person who's in denial to come to healing, and then finally to help convert people who somehow think abortion is okay for women.
So these testimonies that have been gathered and posted on our website, as you just said, are available for anyone to use in the pro-life cause. They don't even have to ask our permission to copy those texts or to email links to those files. These women who and men who have given these testimonies have already given us full permission.
The permission's already been granted by the virtue of the fact that we have it posted up there. But now I want people to think creatively. You know, these people have had the courage to share their stories. But now how can you use their stories to help? Okay, first of all, in letters to the editor, you can quote from
them. Right.
You know, in students that are doing papers, you know, very often you're defending the case that abortion is wrong because it hurts people. You know, it kills a baby, but why not bring in another aspect why abortion is wrong? It's damaging men and women and families, and then you can quote from these testimonies.
It's so powerful to bring in the testimony in that instance, because now We're not just making an assertion. We're quoting someone's experience, and it's very, very difficult for even pro-abortion people to contradict a woman's experience with this.
That's right. Well, like we said, you know, experience trumps rhetoric. It's very often to talk about abortion rhetoric, you know, but it's the people who've experienced who are really going to help. Then in addition, when you have your pro-life discussions, you know, read enough of these testimonies that you can jot down some quick facts so that if you're in a discussion with someone, you can say, well, what do you know about abortion? What do you know about people's experiences? And then you can start quoting, you know, that these men and women have experienced after their abortion, abusing drugs, alcohol, becoming promiscuous, having multiple abortions. You know, you've got to take those testimonies and boil down the facts and be able to talk about them to help convert people.
Yes. Now, many people who are involved in the pro-life movement do lobbying at one point or another, where they're talking to lawmakers. Using these testimonies in those circumstances can be very useful as well. Let's say, for example, a law on informed consent is being considered. Well, showing the testimony of somebody who says that she had grief and regret precisely because she didn't have the informed consent will be a persuasive factor in those efforts.
Yeah, as you read through the testimonies, you will see that so many of those women had said, if I had only known what I know now, I would never have had the abortion. So many of those women were told it's just a blob of tissue. And you know what's the craziest thing? That in this society now, where we have 4D ultrasound, women are still being told, oh, you're so early on right now. You know, it's just you're barely pregnant, as they put it. It's just really a clump of cells. Clump of cells is the other term they like to use. So again, you can really cut through all these myths by quoting those testimonies.
And pastors to quote these testimonies in their sermons. What a marvelous way to bring their people to not only a deeper appreciation of how harmful abortion is, but to a deeper compassion for these men and women who have lost children.
That's right. You know, and then also, if you know someone who's had an abortion, who's gone through healing, and they want to share their testimony, encourage them to contact us at the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, because we constantly want to add to those testimonies and also make them available to as people who might want to speak in a church. You know, nothing is more powerful, and we know this from the women who've done it, is to come to into a church if the minister gives permission and give that testimony in this pulpit.
Yes. Well, thanks, Janet. And brothers and sisters, you can provide links from your own websites to the pages where we have these testimonies. You can download and email those testimonies. Use them in any and every way you can to get out the truth that abortion harms women, harms families, harms our entire society, harms us all. But also use those testimonies to proclaim the mercy and the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what shines through amidst all the despair, amidst all the damage. The healing power of our Lord shines through. Let's use these testimonies always.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares. You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are Silent No More.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.